Praise God. Father, we just thank you so much for Wanda. We love her so much. Amen. We love her so much. We just thank you for the anointing upon her life. We receive from you. We receive from you. We thank you that we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Give her a hand again, would you?
Praise the Lord. Well, this is a nice bunch on a Wednesday night. I'm sure glad to be here.
Amen.
I've got some words of knowledge, but before I begin with God's program here, I just want to thank those of you that are members of this church or attend here regularly, because the support, the financial support, the prayer support, the love that you all extend toward us in the Philippines, it's just so important to us. It's such an important part of our being able to operate there, just knowing that there's people back here who love us and pray for us, but they also back us with their finances. And so I just want to thank you for that. I think that God has told us that we should be thankful. And so I'm thankful to him for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on. You could do better than that. That was a real nice speech I just gave. Man. Okay. I have some words. Listen, so many of you that have never been around when I was ministering, I'm not at all religious. And sometimes religious people don't like that, but God likes it a lot. God really likes it. And I don't really get all, you know, ooey-wooey kind of stuff. That's not the way God operates through me. He gives me words of knowledge. I tell you what they are. I believe you will recognize if something that I say is for you. Now, all I'm going to say is if I call out something that's a symptom in your body, and I ask you how many of you one of those words was for you or more, and you raise your hand, please don't just sit there and not even raise your hand, because a lot of people tell me after the fact that they've been standing on the word of God for this healing, and then I give the word that they've been waiting for, and yet they sit in their seats because they think they're going to, you know, compromise their faith because they're standing there, you know, on the word of God for this healing. Well, when's it going to come if not now? Do you know what I mean? I could tell you some real interesting stories about people who just kept waiting and waiting for God to deliver them, and a lot of them wound up in heaven. Because when deliverance came and when the answer came, they were not prepared to receive it. It didn't come in exactly the same way that they thought it should come. And I'm sure when you said your prayer for that condition in your body, you didn't think it was going to come through an old girl like me on a Wednesday night. But, you know, I don't believe this, but people say it, that God works in mysterious ways. So just consider this as one of those times. Okay, I'm trying to loosen you up because I'm loose. I'm loose. And I love to be here. I love the pastor, John, and his wife and his children and the staff here. This is a wonderful church. And if you don't have a church, boy, this would be a good one to attend. So here's the words. Now, I'm only going to give them out once. You will be able to remain anonymous. Nobody will know what you're raising your hand for or coming up for later, because I give them all out, and then I ask you to raise your hand if one of them is for you. And that's only so that I know how many people I have to minister to, so I leave enough time and I don't keep you here till real late. That sounds good, doesn't it? Work with me on this. Okay. Migraines. I believe someone right now, you have pain in both temples, but there may be some here that you have migraines from time to time, and they're pretty awful. I know before I knew the Lord, I had them all the time. And with some people, they can keep you, you know, in bed for several days with all the blinds pulled and the lights off, because the very smallest light can produce terrible pain. But I'm telling you, if you have migraine headaches, when I ask you to raise your hand, if one of the words is for you, I hope you'll raise your hand, because that's the first step in receiving, claiming it, okay? Someone has a problem with your toe. It's very painful, but there is no wound or sore or anything on the outside. It's inside the toe. And I have another word for a toe that's infected, and they're two different people. So I want you to be sure that you recognize that. Someone, you've been having stomach pain for quite some time, and it's around like the outside of your stomach and up around below your waist, and it's very painful. God wants to heal you of that. It's kind of like cramping you sometime. Then someone has kidney disease here. God wants to deliver you from that. I believe someone, you have a problem with your back, and it's your upper back right here, and it goes across both ways. It's not just on one side or the other, and it's extremely sore. It goes almost all the way over to your ribs. I know your ribs are in the front, but I'm just trying to tell you how far it extends. And it's aching, and it's on both sides in your back. Someone, you have a problem with your fingers. They're very sore, and they may even get stiff sometime. Someone, your elbows or one elbow is sore, and when you go to lift something sometimes, it really hurts a lot. There's a weakness there. Someone in your upper jaw here, it may be your teeth or your gums, it might become disease, but there is pain and discomfort there. God wants to heal that. Someone, your thumb is swollen and aching a lot of the time. I'm hurrying with this because I also want to preach still another word to you tonight. Someone, I believe your left knee, you've been having dull pain in that knee and there's been some swelling. Someone in your chest, over mainly on this side, on your left side, there's a dull pain and pressure at times. Someone, I believe your hip, I believe it's your left hip, it's been aching you, and sometimes it catches you. When you catches, you can, you almost have to go like this because it's catching and there's pain attached to that. And when you move a certain way, it may not be all the time. All right, now this is not the same as the fingers, but someone, your fingernails, they're not growing or they come off before they get very long. Someone, I believe you have pain in your upper arms. It's dull and there's a weakness in your upper arms. It may be one, it may be both. Someone, I believe you have trouble breathing or getting your breath at times, sort of like breathless. There's somebody here now. This is, you know, people, you know, if you're married, you may punch your husband or your wife when I say this, but this is very serious. And somebody has been experiencing what the Lord spoke to me. He said, foggy thinking, but it's not all the time. So if that resonates with you, if that witnesses to you, then that's you. Okay, someone, your lower leg, and I can't lift my leg up that high, but it's your below your knee on the outside. There's sharp pain there. It's not all the way down. It's like to the side of your calf, in the front of your leg, on the side. There's a burning pain and a sharp pain there at times. Maybe an injury, I don't know. Someone, you have hoarseness in your throat that never seems to go away completely. Someone, your hands shake sometimes, and there's no obvious reason. And this is not just for older people. This could be a younger person too. Someone, your eyes are very dry and sore a lot of the time. Someone has a bladder problem, a urinary tract problem, and it seems like you're always getting infections, bloating, and even some nausea with these urinary tract infections. Someone, your neck, I don't know which side it is, but it starts right here. It's very sore. And it goes up almost to the back of your ear or your mastoid, and you have that pain, and it really aches. Then there's somebody who has an injury of some kind that didn't heal properly and it's causing you a problem. And then the last word that the Lord gave me so far was somebody's ankle. It's your ankle, but it's on the inside of your foot. You know, you got an ankle on each side or an ankle bone on each side. It's on the inside, and it's a pain that's deep. It's not a bruise or something like that. It's deep inside your foot. Now, those are the words that the Lord has given me up until now. He can always give me more. I'm always open to that. But as of right now, if one of these words, some of them were pretty specific, so you should have been able to recognize if they were for you. If one of these words was for you, would you raise your hand and wave it at me? Well, I know I had a lot of words, but there's a lot of you that I'm going to be laying hands on in a little while. Praise the Lord! Amen. Amen. No, I'm not glad that any of you aren't feeling tip-top, but I'm really glad you're here and that I'm going to get a chance to touch you for Jesus. Amen. All right, tonight I'm just going to share a short message with you about healing, and it's in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I'm going to read this passage through, verses 1 through 12, and I read quite well, so you're probably going to enjoy this. And then I'm going to go back over some of the points that I want you to remember that I believe are going to help you not only to receive tonight, but to stay well, and that I'm hoping they'll stay in your heart, that when you get attacked with something else, after you get healed tonight, you get attacked with something else down the road, because you know you can. You can get healed tonight, but you'll probably have an opportunity to be sick or in pain at some time before your life is over. Hello. Because you have an enemy. And also sometimes we're an enemy to our own body. Hello. Okay. I know whereof I speak. Okay. And Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 in the New King James. And again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. Boy, I wish we had that problem in here tonight. But we got a lot of folks here, and I'm glad. But that's the way it is when people know that the healer's in the house. Amen. And they knew that the healer was in that house. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Verse 4. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, that is, broken through the roof, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was laying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes who were sitting there, these are the religious people, were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" Verse 10, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately, say immediately.
Immediately.
He rose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Boy, I hope when you leave tonight, you're going to be saying to each other, "We never saw anything like this." Because the Lord is here and his spirit is here. And I believe that he longs to minister to your needs. Now, let's look over this again. And I'm going to go over it a little more slowly. See if I can get it so the light is there. Okay. In verse 2 at the end, it says, "And he preached the word to them." You know, just about everyone that Jesus ministered to, he preached or he taught or he spoke some words from the Old Testament or some words that the Father God had spoken to him. And that's why I think you'll find that most of the time when you go to a healing service, they want you to listen to the Word of God. Because Romans 10:17, a lot of you know this by heart, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've heard that so often. It was one of the first scriptures in the church that I went to after I came to know the Lord. I was 39 when I discovered that Jesus loved me. And the church that I went to was what we call a word church, a faith church. And that was a scripture we heard all the time, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I just really caught something in that passage, although I've heard it thousands of times since I was born again of the Spirit of God. And that is, every time we hear the Word of God, we have an opportunity to have faith come. Every time we hear God's Word, we have an opportunity to believe it and receive the promise that's in it. Of course, we also have an opportunity to ignore it. Amen? Or to disregard it because it doesn't agree with our idea of what God should be like. But God is not changing for anybody. You know, the Word of God says He never changes. I am the Lord. I change not. And He doesn't need to change. He's already perfect. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight I don't want you to miss the opportunity for faith to come. Because when that faith comes, you also have an opportunity to receive what you desire of the Lord. All right, in verse 3, it said, then there came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Think of these four men. They didn't have any, you know, vans then or ambulances. These four guys carried this man. Now, this man was paralyzed. I don't know how long he'd been paralyzed, but if you've ever tried to lift anybody who was paralyzed, that's dead weight. I mean, they're not helping you. They can't. And so these four men, they believed enough in what Jesus could do for this friend of theirs. They not only carried him to this house where they heard that he was, but when they couldn't get in because there was already a big crowd there, they took this guy, dead weight, and they carried him up a ladder. I'd really like to see that. You know, how do you get a guy who's dead weight on a bed up, you know, up a ladder? And then when they got him on the roof and they broke through the roof, then they had to let him down. You know, I'm sure they didn't just drop him. But these men were determined. And they must have loved this guy. What a friend. What wonderful friends. Are you a friend like that? Did you bring somebody tonight? Boy, I don't know what that was. But it scared me, all right. Okay. No, I hope I'm that kind of a friend. That I, when I know that there's a move of God going on, that I find people who need healing. All right, in verse 5, the end of verse 5, it says, no, the beginning of verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, I want you to realize that it's not always the faith of the sick person. You know, I've had people say to me, well, I just don't have enough faith for that. Well, so what? All that we know for sure from the Word of God is somebody's got to have faith. There's got to be faith in here somewhere, okay? And now in this day and time, there may be somebody praying in the Spirit for you in Siberia for what's happening here tonight, and they got faith. But I also want to assure you that even if you don't have much faith, I got a lot for you. I actually have more faith for you than I have for myself. Amen. Because I know what God has done these past 28 years when I pray for people. And so I've got a lot of confidence in God and what he can do when I just show up and lay hands on people in obedience to the word of God. You missed a wonderful chance to shout right there. But you'll have another chance. Hallelujah. All you have to do is listen to the word that I'm going to share with you, which I am sharing, and then believe that word. And when I call you up here later to lay hands on you, that you believe and receive when I lay my hands on you. Because I'm not going to give you a treatment or a counseling. Those people here that have been here when I ministered before, you don't believe how fast this old girl can go. I mean, I don't dawdle. Because it's not me. It's the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. And I don't want you, you know, trying to tell me all your ailments. Because I'm not the one who's healing you. And I know you know that, but sometimes people, you know, they get carried away and the anointing's there. And I know when I was in India once, somebody fell down and grabbed me around the feet and started kissing my feet. Boy, I'm telling you, they almost got it. If I could have moved my feet. Because, you know, you don't want someone to do that. You don't want someone to misunderstand where their help comes from. We're just messengers. You know, we're just vessels. And so there's another lesson that I think is important here in this passage. And that is that sometimes we have to carry people on our faith. Hello. Sometimes people can't believe the way you believe. They're, you know, they're just new in the Word of God, or they're newly born of the Spirit, or maybe they're not even a child of God yet. And you have to help them, and you have to believe in them. But, you know, there's a limit to that. You can't prop somebody up forever. They have to begin to look to the Lord themselves. I'm telling you, this is really good preaching. I know this man of God that I used to listen to all the time. He used to say, I'm doing better preaching than you are amening. And it's certainly true here tonight. Okay. I'm going to preach to you because you love me and I know that. Okay. And I think you're all right too over here.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, they're both having so much fun up here. I'd like to believe it's because of my preaching. All right, the rest of verse 5. We're doing all right, aren't we?
Yeah.
This stuff is better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick anyway. So you'll get that in a little while. All right, the rest of verse 5. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. This is really, really very important. Because the Jews, see, Jesus didn't minister to Christians. He ministered to Jews under the old covenant. And so the Jewish culture and the Orthodox Jews at the time that Jesus walked on the earth in a physical body, their belief system, their culture was believing that sin and suffering and sickness were all intertwined. In other words, if someone was sick, or if they were suffering, it was because they sinned. And some of the rabbis used to say to people that a man who or a woman who was sick is someone that God is mad at. Well, you know, some of that's carried over into our culture. That's right. Because a lot of times when we get sick, we think we can't receive from God because, you know, we haven't been a nice guy all the time. But God doesn't heal us on the basis of our goodness, but he heals us on the basis of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Okay. Anyways, I think that this paralytic fellow, he was a Jew. He lived in that culture. And I think probably he also had that feeling of unworthiness that, you know, he was sick because God was mad at him. He probably, when Jesus said, son, such a loving term, you know, son or daughter or child. And he, the first thing he said to this man that was, you know, had broken through this guy's roof, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I am sure that that enabled this man to receive that miracle. Because in that belief system that they lived in, you couldn't be healed unless your sins were forgiven. Now, as we go on a little bit further, we will see that these scribes, now these were the religious people of their days, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, and it says some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God?" These folks were not upset because Jesus was going around healing, because Jews had had a covenant with God that included healing since the Exodus. What they were upset was that Jesus was talking like he had the power and the authority to forgive sins. And that made them really upset. It's kind of ironic because today, in the time that we live in, many Christians around the world, regardless of the language or the denomination, they don't have any trouble at all believing and accepting that Jesus forgives sins. But boy, they're not so sure that God still heals today. Isn't that nuts? If the devil can't get you on one end, he'll get you on the other. But you see, when Jesus came, he brought a double cure for sin and for sickness. Hallelujah. And I believe, thank you. Give him glory. He is sure worthy. He is sure worthy. I want to stop again and go back to that scripture about, "Son, thy sins are forgiven you." If you have a feeling in your heart that you're not worthy, that you're a bad guy or a bad girl, and God could never do anything for you because you don't deserve it, it's going to be awful hard for you to receive. Hello? It's going to be hard for you to receive because you're in bondage to your own thinking. That's true. Unworthy feelings are faith killers. And that, again, it falls under the old works doctrine, that you have to work your way to heaven. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and be a real mean person and just expect that you're going to get all the blessings of God. That's not my department. I don't know why God, you know, God heals sinners. He heals people that don't even know him, don't even acknowledge him. And I don't know why, because I'm not God. I think you already knew that. But I do know one thing. When he does bless us, when he does heal us, when we do receive miracles, it isn't because we did good stuff. How much good stuff would you have to do to be healed of cancer? I mean, how would you know if you did enough? But you see, all the guesswork is taken out of it when you just believe on Jesus and that his blood bought for us eternal life, and that his body was broken so that we could have abundant life right here. In Filipino language, that scripture is Masaganang Buhay. Boy, I love the sound of that. Abundant life. I like that abundant life. How about you? My mother didn't raise any stupid children. And when I found out that I could not only have eternal life, but abundant life, I signed up. And I've never handed in my resignation yet. Let's look at verse 8. "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus with themselves," isn't that interesting? Have you ever noticed how a lot of people, they don't care what your opinion is, they just reason with themselves. They only care what they think. Hello. I'm a little nervous around those kind of people. But I want you to notice there, he says, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart?" You have to understand that faith and doubt are both in the heart. If you have faith, it's in your heart. It's not in your head. See, that's the problem. A lot of people are saying the right things, and making the right confessions, but it's in their head. It's not in their heart. They don't really believe it. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good. And I am. Okay. I heard a very wise man say this once. He said, sometimes. Reason is doubt in disguise. First time I heard that, I wrote it down. I'll wait a moment for you. Sometimes reason is doubt in disguise. Now, don't go and, you know, go off the deep end with that. If you see a lion in the street, you better run. You know what I mean? There's reason that tells you danger is imminent and that you better take precautions. But then there is the reason that's your own mind that tells you, oh, God wouldn't do that. I've heard a lot of people saying God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And I agree with them. People send themselves to hell. Woo. Okay, I really stepped out on that one. Okay. So Jesus said in verse 9, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power. Now, I'm going to stop in the middle of this here, and I'm going to tell you that word power is the Greek word exousia, and it means executive power. It means delegated authority. God delegated this authority to Jesus. He didn't just dream it up on his own, because Jesus was submitted to the Father. Okay? He says, so you can know that I have power on earth to forgive sins. I say, you see, where your sins have to be forgiven, I want you to make a note of that and underline it. Your sins have got to be forgiven here on earth. If they're not, don't worry about heaven. You're not going there. And we're laughing, you know. Sometimes people laugh because they're nervous, but it's not funny. It's not funny to think that a human person is going to spend eternity in a place that was made for the devil. It's not funny at all, but, you know, a lot of people, they want to reason it within themselves about what God would do. Well, you know, you can do that if you're going to be God. But you're not going to be God. And someday, many people are going to find that out, and they're really going to be mad. Amen. When they find out that a lot of things they were told were not true, but it'll be too late then. Because your sins have got to be forgiven, say that, on earth. While you are on earth. Okay, while you are on earth. Okay, so he said to the man, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Jesus as much as said to these religious people, anyone can say thy sins be forgiven, but who can say arise and walk unless they get up and walk? Amen. I mean, the proof is right there in front of your eyes. You either, you know, I've always believed very strongly when you say you're going to have a healing miracle service, there better be some healings and miracles. But you don't always find that is true. And I know that's why a lot of people don't respond when you tell them, oh, there's going to be a healing miracle service, because they've been disappointed. Not tonight. Exousia, so that you will know that the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sins. That power, as I told you, is exousia. And it means that you have the right to and the might to. There's no good in having authority unless you have the power to back it up. If you got a job where you got nothing but responsibility and nothing to back it up with, you're in a world of hurt. Yeah, I know. I've been there. He meant to tell these men, these religious men that should have known better, should have recognized him. He meant for them to realize he's the Messiah. I'm the one that was promised that he would come. You see, I not only say to the man, get up and take up your bed and walk. But I tell him his sins are forgiven. And they are. Now in Luke 5:17, hope I'm not taking up too much. My watch stops this morning and I keep looking at it. And you know, we got plenty of time. That's a good excuse. Okay. Anybody know what time it is? Aha! Okay, we got plenty of time. Okay. And really, there's just one more scripture that I want. Oh, maybe more than one, but this one for sure. Luke 5:17. It's another account of this man who was born by four. And I'm only going to read one verse because there's a phrase in here that does not appear in Mark or in the Matthew account. Luke 5:17, it says, now it happened on a certain day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. They came to watch him. They wanted to judge him. They wanted to find something by which they could accuse him. And in many of your Bibles, this will say in this passage, the persecution begins, okay? Because he said, your sins are forgiven. All right? It says, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Woo, I love that. I love that because I have been in that presence of God so many times. Boy, I'd like to live there. But you know, it's very difficult to live in the presence of God all the time. You just can't live on the mountain all the time because there's people in the valley that need help. Amen. We're not here just to be blessed. We're here to touch other people for Jesus. I believe that, and that's what the Bible says, so just take it as a fact. All right. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. That word power is not the same one. That one is dunamis, which means dynamite power. It means miraculous power. It means outpouring of almightiness. That power is in this place tonight. Amen. Now, I'm sure it's in this place quite often, but I know it's here tonight. Hello? Amen. Oh, boy. Let's try that again. Amen. The power of God is present to heal in this place tonight.
Amen.
Amen. See, you're not convincing me of that. You're convincing yourself. Because you need to be convinced. But don't worry, because I've got the faith for you. Amen. You say, that sounds very arrogant. No, it's not arrogant. Because I believe the word. It says, believers lay hand on the sick and they recover. And I'm not just a believer. I'm a called one. Amen. So, watch out, Mr. Devil. All right, that wonderful atmosphere of faith, sometimes we call it the corporate anointing, the presence of God. Worship brings the presence of God. God gives me the words of knowledge that he gives me when the praise and worship is going on. That's why I got to be in here when that's going on, or I might not hear. I'm not saying he couldn't give them to me, but I don't want to risk it because these are for you. And I'm here for you. Teaching God's word to people who are hungry for more of God can bring that presence. Do we have anybody like that here tonight? Yeah. Amen. An anointed vessel of God can stimulate or activate that powerful presence of God. And frankly, that's what I've been doing, she said humbly. See, I'm not going to say that's what I'm trying to do because I'm a faith person and I'm believing that it's happening. Amen. Now, what Jesus did when he said to this man, thy sins be forgiven, rise and walk, he was decreeing a thing. He was speaking it out or commanding something to be that was not yet. That's the way God operates. Romans says he calls those things that are not as though they are. And you know what? Then they are. Remember that old familiar one? Where God said, light be. And scientists tell us it's still going out into the universe. It's never stopped at a very high speed as well. No, in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said he's giving us his power. He said, all power has been given unto me, so you go. So tonight, we're going to decree a thing. Now, I know your Wednesday night services don't usually go real late, and I'm not going to keep you here real late, but I do want you to look at Job chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. I don't preach a lot out of Job, you know. I'm a New Testament person for the most part, but this is an excellent, this is toward the end of the book of Job, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified, and I really want, I hope you'll write down Job 22, 28 through 30, because you may want to remember this passage in the Amplified. It says, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up. And the humble person, he, capital H, lifts up and saves. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. See, it's not dependent on you. It's on what God has already done for you. And I believe you're prepared to receive it tonight. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Nobody looking around unless you're supposed to be looking around. Just listen to my voice. Please, just look into your own hearts right now. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. This account is so beautiful to me, and it reveals to me the heart of God. He says to each of us, child, I love you. I'm not mad at you. Don't be afraid. Come to me. Your sins are forgiven. There's a song that I used to hear that moved me, and I'm not going to sing for you right now, which you should really be happy about. But this song goes something like this. There's room at the cross for you. With your head bowed, please just look into your own heart right now. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. You know, May the 27th, 1979, there was room for me at the cross. There was room for me. And tonight, if you have never made a public profession, you've never believed in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and confessed with your mouth that he is your Lord and accepted him as your Savior, you need to do that. And I'd like to have the privilege of praying with you. So just keep your heads bowed for a minute. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to reveal to each person here if they're right with God. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, you need to do that because no one has a promise of another 5 minutes. And your sins must be forgiven here on this earth while you're on this earth. Or maybe you knew the Lord when you were younger or a while ago, but you got away from the things of God and you got away from Father's house. But you really want to get back into the things of God. You really want to start over, draw a line in the sand and say, tonight, I'm coming back, rededicating my life. If either one of those invitations applies to you, raise your hand. This is not for healing. Lift your hand up high. All right, hands going up all over. This is for making Jesus Lord or for rededicating. All right, those of you that put your hand up, will you put it down? I'm going to look around again. If you're not sure you're right with God, there's no peace in that. And those unworthy feelings and that those feelings of guilt, they're going to come right when you need faith the most. So I'm going to look around again. I want you to know in your heart tonight that you're right with God. Before you leave this place, I'm going to look around one more time. And I want you to lift your hand if you know you need Jesus or you know you need to rededicate your life. If you already raised your hand, don't raise it. Is there anybody else? You say, that's me, Wanda. Pray for me. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you over there. God bless you. Now, listen. God bless you back there. I want to, God bless you. See, I'm not going to ask you to stand or come up here, but I'm agreeing with you. And God sees your hand and I see it. And we are too, and we are on earth. And we believe that it's done. Because you have raised your hand and said, that's me. And I have seen it, and God has seen it, and we believe it's done. All right, put your hands down. I'm going to go around one more time. Because I don't want to miss, I don't want anybody to miss out on this. If you need Jesus, you know you're not right with God, or you walked with the Lord once, but you got away from God, and you surely want to hustle right back tonight, lift up your hand and say, that's me, over there, there's one. Anybody else? You didn't raise your hand before. There's another. Over here, there's another. Oh, here's another one. There's another one. Praise the Lord. See, I don't want to stop. Because you might be in the valley of decision right now, and if I stopped 5 minutes ago, all right, I see your hands, you can put them down. Anybody else, you didn't raise your hand yet, but God is dealing with you, and you can't hardly keep that hand down. God bless you over there. Praise the Lord. All right, I want you to look at me. I want to tell you something now. I kept on waiting because there was one person that the Lord showed me they needed to receive that forgiveness and know they were right with God tonight. And I waited until they raised their hand. But then more people raised their hand. Hallelujah. And then some more people raised their hand. So if you raised your hand... If you raised your hand on either of those two invitations, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everyone here that's already prayed this prayer once and you know you're right with God, let's pray them into the kingdom or back into right relationship with God. Pray this with me. Let's lift one hand to the Lord. Father God,
I come to you.
In Jesus' name. I believe in my heart. Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins. He's alive. And he can offer life to me. Eternal life and abundant life right here. Tonight, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new creation according to your word. And Lord, I know I served you once. This is for the ones who are rededicating. Lord, I served you once, and I got away, but I ask you to forgive me. I want to come back and be in fellowship and communion with you tonight. So thank you, Lord, that your blood washes away my sin. I am right with you tonight. I'm a child of God. Born of the Spirit, heaven bound. Thank you, Lord. Now say this with me. Lord, teach me your word and your ways. And when this life is over, I know I'll spend eternity with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, don't you look handsome sitting up there. And Vicki, you look pretty too. Now's the time. We're going to get down to some more of God's business. Now, a lot of you raised your hand for those words. And so I think I want to move. Will somebody help me? Oh, I told you you had to do it. Just kidding. I'll give you this heavy work.
All right.
Okay. All right. I want things to be done decently in order because that's what really gives us freedom in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to call different sections and see how many there are and how much room there is. And so I'm going to say the people that one of those words or more was for you on this side. Hello. Those of you on that side say this side. All right, I'd like you to come up. If you raised your hand, and ushers, would you come And you know, I'm sure you know how to arrange them. Of course, I haven't been here in a while. I don't know. All right. I think we can. Please come up quickly, folks. The people on this far side, that one of those words was for you. You come over on this side, please. This side. Come on. Like they say on that show, come on down. Wait, those of you that are in the middle. Let's see. Because I don't want two lines. We can't do it that way. It's just not in order that way. Okay? All right. Do we don't put anybody here. Is that it? Okay. Gotcha. All right. Now, everybody here that's going to come for one of those words, these people here and those of you that are in these other seats, I want you to have this confession. Remember, we're going to decree. We decide and we decree something because we have the power, the authority, okay? Say this with me. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that those words that Wanda had were for me. And when she lays her hands on me, your power will surge through my body, and I'll have a change. Either a healing, which is a process, or a miracle, whatever I need. And I will not resist the Spirit of God. All right, get your minds on heaven. You can start playing that music now, person. Well, if you say sound man and it's a woman, you're in trouble. All right, let's get our minds on heaven. Your arms down at your side. Please be relaxed. I'm not going to hit you, punch you, tickle you, or any of that stuff. church. And it's probably going to be you.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a very strong presence of God here, and I don't want to stop again. So start lining those people up over there. John's the best usher in the place. He's worked with me before. All right, let's get our minds on heaven. Start lining them up over there from any section that we haven't gotten yet. That word is for you. 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 Is for you. You receive, 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 sir. Receive, my dear. Receive, sir. That's it right there. You got it coming in and going out. Okay, just hold on to it. Thank you, Ken. Check yourself out when you get back to your seat. Start jumping up and down. You know that you've had a change. That's weak. I got it! Okay. Wait, we're not done yet. Save your applause, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now. Are these still more words over here? Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I told you I could move fast. See, these ushers can't move as fast as I can. Of course, I ain't catching people. Hallelujah. For. This is only for somebody who hasn't already been up here tonight. Please. Please. Because I will remember you. And you may receive something you aren't coming for. I really do believe obedience is better than sacrifice. So if I lay hands on you twice in the same night, that's proof that you didn't believe the first time. So you're, you know, contradicting your own receiving. Is this for healing? Come on now, from everywhere. I'm watching you. And when Wanda lays her hands on me, your power will surge through my body and I will receive. I will have a change, either a healing, which is a process, or a miracle, whatever I need. And I will not resist the Holy Spirit. And I thank you in advance. Amen. I'm holding on to them because I'm not done touching them. Jesus, gentle Savior. Jesus, gentle healer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing. Destroys every yoke. For the child? Okay. What's his name? Oh, dear Noah. There's that power. See, Daddy, you've got to receive. Is this Grandpa? Is this Grandma?
Yes.
You have to receive for him. Because he's too young. Yeah, but he's getting the power now. In Jesus' name. Some of you are thinking, oh, we don't go by our feelings. Oh, really? you do so. But anyways, right now, I want to know if you feel a change. Because it's good when you feel a change. Now, you folks, look around. Look around. Those of you that haven't felt a change yet, you're in the process. Amen. Now, you need to tell somebody, especially if you raised your hand to make Jesus your Lord or to come back, make a commitment, you see somebody, he's going to tell you all about it. Thank you so much. I really love being here with you. Right here, I can sit right beside you.
Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? How many of you love Wanda? Isn't she a precious lady? We love you. So Wanda let me know it's been over 3 years since she was here last time, 3.5. So we can't wait that long next time, amen? And so we love you so much, Wanda. Thanks so much for coming tonight. We want to just worship the Lord with our giving. But first, I want to do something very, very important. One is I want to welcome anybody who may be a guest. If you've never been to Victory before, thanks for coming tonight. I hope you've been touched by God. And we're just thankful that you've been able to come with us tonight. But we would ask you to find this white card in the seat pocket in front of you. Please fill it out in its entirety. And then when the service is dismissed at either exit where you leave, you can drop this off at the information centers. They'll give you a packet of information. Within that packet is a voucher you can redeem in our cafe for a free beverage. And we're so grateful you've come with us tonight. We hope you've been really touched by God and made to be feel very welcome. So would you give a hand to our guests tonight? Now, this is very important. If you raised your hand to receive Christ tonight or to rededicate your life, it's really important that you let us know. We can't know simply by God telling us. You have to tell us. And you can letting us know that helps us get information into your life and into your hands that can help you grow in your faith and to walk with God. And so I want to encourage you, one of the easiest ways to do that in the modern age is to send a text. So if you'll just simply take out your phone, you're allowed in church, take out your phone and text the word decided to 27138. You'll get a text right back from us, and that'll start you on a journey where we'll start to point you in directions that will help you grow spiritually. You're not joining the church by doing that. No money comes out of your account other than the money that sends Steve Moore to Hawaii every year, but we won't talk about that. No, nothing comes out of your account. It's just one way that we can very quickly have you let us know. We get right back to you. If you're serious about walking with God, then don't hide it. So take out your phone, text to 27138, the word decided. Also, on your way out tonight, pick up this packet of